just sat out there with you all. I'm just thinking, listening to John. And isn't that a great phrase? A harvest muscle memory. Don't you think? I thought that was fantastic. You know, if we could have a harvest muscle memory every year, just at the right time, burst forth with carrying things up to the front. That's fantastic, that. Just remember that one. We kind of get focused, don't we, on all the goodies and the fruit and everything and the physical things of harvest. So what we're going to do this morning is just kind of focus back on the spiritual things of harvest a bit. One of the things that always strikes me is what an amazing gardener God is. And we're told right throughout the Bible, really, but in specific places, that God does garden us. Yes, actually gardens us, which is quite something to get your head round, really, isn't it? You know, sometimes we're compared to grapevines where we have bits chopped off and stuff to make us bear fruit, and other times we're kind of fields of barley or whatever it is, growing straight and tall. So I want to kind of bring that focus back in this morning to ourselves, and then to look out as well to what that may mean, what harvest is all about, because it's harvest time in many more ways than just one. So in bearing that in mind, and bearing in mind that that God in some ways looks at us on occasions as sheep, but other on occasions as plants who have been sown, who are growing, who are flowering, who are bearing fruit, who are flourishing. And the one big thing that God wants is for us all to flourish in the kingdom of heaven. Yeah. To flourish within the kingdom of heaven. So let me ask you a question, or a few questions, that are fit for the season of harvest. Firstly, do you think that you're a good piece of ground for the planting of the kingdom? Is the kingdom life in you growing straight and tall towards God, the Son? And has your kingdom plant got a lot of fruit on it? Or any fruit on it? Or some fruit on it? Now, you might think that I'm kind of slightly going over the edge this morning, which isn't unusual because I'm usually over the edge most of the time, as you may have realised. But cast your mind back to Jesus when he told the parable of the sower. Because there was the old sower, sowing in his field, as they did in those days, scattering it all around, wasn't he? And all that seed going, some of it went on the wrong places, didn't grow right, some of it grew right because it went on good soil, some of it shriveled up because it didn't have enough roots, and so on and so on. And what was going on there was Jesus was telling a story about the sowing of the seed of the kingdom of heaven. A parable of the seed of the kingdom of heaven. Falling on both good and bad ground. Growing or not growing. Doing well or not doing well. Bearing a lot of fruit or bearing some fruit. Or a bit or not a lot. So if you consider all that, let me just ask you, how are you doing? How are you doing? How are you bearing up in the kingdom? Does your ground need a bit more topsoil? Does it need a bit more manure? Is the ground of your life parched and dry? Or getting that way? Is your plant of the kingdom struggling? struggling in you to grow tall and straight and have lots of life and energy. And if it is, what can be done about it? What can be done to water and to nourish the kingdom of heaven in you and in me? Well, if we go to the gospel passage that we had this morning, that passage comes at the end of a long passage where Jesus has had a conversation, or is having a conversation, with an unnamed woman from Samaria. She's hugely important, this lady, in the Gospel of John, and yet she has no name. She's just called a woman. And in the midst of this story, Jesus tells this lady that not only is he living water himself, but that he gives living water. All surrounded, of course, by the well that he's at with this lady, using it as a sort of, I don't know, how do you say it, something to describe what living water would be like. You can see the real water that's there. Whoever drinks the water I will give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I will give them will become in them a spring of water, welling up to eternal life. So if your kingdom plant is a little shriveled, not doing well, only comes out into the sun on Sundays, perhaps, what you need is a good dousing of living water. From Jesus. A good dousing of living water from Jesus. So, if that's what you need, why don't you go ahead and ask him for it? Now. It's important. Important that your plant of the kingdom of heaven grows well. It's urgent, even. Urgent. It's about your eternal life, after all. Your spiritual life, your real life in Jesus. And while you're asking him to give you such a dousing in living water that it kind of gets you going, why not ask him to give you so much that the spring of water, of living water, wells up within you to eternal life and overflows out of you? Why not ask him that now? Shall we do that? Yeah. So, Lord Jesus, we pray that you will give us living water in torrents, Lord. Give us yourself. Cause the spring of your living water to rise up within us and overflow from us. Lord, do it now. Do it now in us, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Jesus will get you growing. He'll get you bearing fruit. Because he wants to see us flourishing in the kingdom of God. That's what he wants. He wants us flourishing. He wants us bearing fruit. Love, joy, peace, self-control, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. He wants us to be like him. Filled up with Jesus. That's what he wants. Filled up with Jesus, the living water. So that we start overflowing with Jesus, the living water. But it's not all about you and I at Harvest. We live in a society that's centred around ourselves, don't we? Centred around the individual. about our needs, our wants, our wealth or lack of it, our achievements or our failures. It's all around us. You only have to watch the media, read the newspapers, go out on the street, and it's all there. It's all centered around us. But the kingdom of heaven is so different. Because we are those to be called, who are called not to be centered on us, to be centered on other people. Those who are out there. Anybody besides yourself. Who is your neighbor? We are called to overflow with Jesus, with living water, to the person next to you, to the person down the road, to whoever it is who is your neighbour. We are called to be those who gush with Jesus like a spring, overflowing. We are called to be those who give Jesus away. We're not called to be those who keep him for ourselves, but those who sow the seed of the kingdom and reap the harvest of the kingdom. That's what we're called to. We're called to be those who want to see our neighbours flourish in the kingdom of heaven. So here are some more harvest questions for you. Are you a sower of the seed of the kingdom of heaven? Are you a reaper of the seed of the kingdom of heaven? Or the fruits of it, if you like. Or are you both? You know, in our gospel passage this morning, the disciples return from buying food. Because they had a long journey, they'd got to this well in Samaria, they'd sat down, Jesus had obviously worn out, started talking to the lady, they'd gone off to buy the food. When they came back, they find that Jesus no longer wants the food. It's like, he looked worn out when we left him, but look at him now. He seems all energized and he doesn't want anything to eat. What's going on? Has he had some from somewhere else? Has this woman given him some food? And Jesus says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. See, giving away the kingdom of heaven to the Samaritan lady by that well had so fulfilled Jesus' mission and his love, that he felt like he had eaten a wonderful meal. How fantastic is that? He felt so fulfilled by what had happened, by giving the kingdom of heaven to this lady, that it was like he'd had a wonderful meal. He was no longer hungry. He was no longer tired. He was energized. Isn't that fantastic? So, if you are a sower of the kingdom of heaven, giving away Jesus, overflowing with living water, that's going to bring you the greatest joy and fulfillment. Because you will be bringing joy to God the Father. And the water of life will be flowing through you, creating eternal life in others. And how fantastic is that? If we could do that, be that person for the kingdom of heaven. But if you are a reaper of the sowed seed rather than a sower, don't be dismayed, because Jesus said, you are equally essential. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now, the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. If you're a reaper of the kingdom of heaven, fruits, you must complete the work of the sower. For without the reaper, there is no harvest. Doesn't this verse give us a great picture of the church, don't you think? Working together as a body, the body of Christ. Each one of us using our gifts to bring in the harvest of the kingdom of God. The one who serves the tea and the cake is just as important as the one who sits and shares Jesus as it's consumed. Sower and the reaper. Working together. Both should share in the joy of somebody entering the kingdom of heaven as a result. I sent you out to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. You know, sometimes we simply have the privilege of guiding somebody into the kingdom of heaven because that person has already traveled a kingdom journey to get there. And many others along the way have sowed the seeds of the kingdom of heaven into their lives. But we can all share in the joy of them embracing Jesus and embracing eternal life and entering the kingdom of heaven. How fantastic is that? Just think of what has gone on in this parish over the years gone by. The seeds that have been sown and the harvest that is there to be reaped because of the work that has gone on through all the sowers of the past. Jesus says to us this morning, I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields of Ripley. They are ripe for harvest. We need not be afraid of harvest failure, you see. Sometimes farmers are afraid, aren't they, that the sun won't shine enough to get the wheat at the right, you know, just as it's right. But we don't need to be afraid that the harvest will fail. It's out there, it's waiting. Jesus has said so. We just need to go out and gather it. Jesus, in John's Gospel, John's Gospel tells us the effect that Jesus had on the woman who he gave the living water to at the well. Many of the Samaritans from the town that believed in him because of the woman's testimony. So many others came into the kingdom of heaven because one person found Jesus at a well that day. One person. And all these others from the town came to Jesus to find him because of that one person. So let's not forget that one person can find Jesus in you today, this coming week, tomorrow. Just think how many other people would come to Jesus because of that one person who found Jesus in you. Isn't that staggering that that could happen? Isn't that amazing? Isn't that something we should be doing? Letting them find Jesus in us. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields of Ripley, for they are ripe for harvest.